Jai Kaho Shri Krishna, Jai Tanya Prabhu, Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Shivasadi Gaur, Bhaktivinoda Kijai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopata Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Navadeepdam Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shivani Glasi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. Okay. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 1, Text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ihate Bhagavan Isho Na Hi Tatra Visajate Atma Lavena Purnarto Navasidante Ye Anu Tam Iyate Bhagavanishahu Nahi Tatra Visajate Atman Labhena Purnarto Navasidanti Yenutam Iyate Bhagavanishahu Nahi Tatra Visajate Atmalabhena Purnarto Navasidanti Enutam Iyate Bhagavanishahu Nahi Tatra Visajate Atmalabhena Purnarto Navasidhanti Enutam. Okay. Ihate engages in activities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Ishaha, the Supreme Controller. Na, not. He, indeed. Tatra, in such activities. Visajate, he becomes entangled. Atma labhena, because of his own gain. Purna artaha, Who is self-satisfied? Not. Avasiddhante. Are disheartened. Yay. Persons who? Anu. Follow. Tam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by his own gain. Yet he acts as the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. In spite of acting in that way, he is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in his footsteps are also never entangled. So you can repeat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by his own gain. Yet he acts as the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. In spite of acting in that way, he is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in his footsteps are also never entangled. So, purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, as stated in Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter, text 9, Yagyartat karmano nyatra loko yam samabandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. If we do not act in Krishna consciousness, we shall be entangled like silkworms in cocoons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in order to teach us how to work so that we will not be entangled in this material world. Our real problem is that we are entangled in materialistic activities, and because we are conditioned, our struggle continues through punishment in different punishment of material existence in one body after another in different forms of life. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, text 7, Mama evamso jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatanaha, manakshastani indriyani, prakritishtani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entities are actually minute forms who are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is full in everything. And the small particles of the Lord are also originally qualified like him, but because of their minute existence, they are infected by material attraction and thus entangled. We must therefore follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then, like Krishna, was never entangled by his material activities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, we will have nothing for which to lament. Nava Siddhanti Ye Nu Tam. Krishna personally gives instructions in Bhagavad Gita, and anyone who follows these instructions is liberated. Following Krishna's instructions is possible when one is a devotee, for Krishna instructs that one should become a devotee. Man mana bhava madbhaktu madhyaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me and become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. That's for the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 65. Always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. Wow, let me repeat that. Always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. It doesn't mean he can't chant Hare Krishna, but he can't remember, always think of Krishna. That's the difference. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship. I'll read that one again. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, madhyaji. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master constantly. This principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. As soon as one comes to this platform, he gradually understands
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply by understanding Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. So, Yate Bhagavan Isho Nahi Tatra Visajate Atma Labhina Purnarto Navasiddhanti Yenutam. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shaganjana Shrapaya Tatsurum Meditam Gina Tasmai Shigurveda Mahar. So here, there's a lot of this verse in purport. And the first thing we'll talk about is the Lord's ontological position. And that's a fancy word for all of you. But ontological basically means his identity in essence, you know, who he is. You know, there's different ologies in philosophy, like teleology, the study of purposes, ontology, epistemology, the study of course, ontology I already described. Epistemology, the study of knowledge, you know, how do you know what you know? Theology, the study of God, theos. So, anytime you have ology, like sociology, the study of the interactions, social interactions between people. Also, there's the sociology of animals that people study. But anyway, so that's what ology means, the study. So, the ontology of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here, that he's, first of all, it's full in opulence, and of course this is the standard description we don't need to go into detail with, you know, the six opulences, that's the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not, full means he's unlimited in these six opulences, not simply... You know, full doesn't really describe it completely, but unlimited, I think, describes it more completely. I mean, for example, that you have the opulence of renunciation, which is actually described here in this particular verse and purport. So renunciation means he has unlimited renunciation. So unlimited renunciation is that he's not attached to anything in this material world. That's unlimited. Whereas... our renunciation, you know, we're attached to certain things, like, you know, our families, or at least our computers, or things like that, or our body. But Krishna's absolute renunciation, you know, unlimited and absolute. These two words are very similar. You know, unlimited means just unlimited. There's no limitation to it. And absolute means there's nothing else going on except for that. So, you know, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's fame, these are the six opulences that Parashara Muni describes concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's one aspect of him. And then, but another aspect is being described here in addition to the full and opulences is that by his own gain, I want to unpack that one here. So the purport for that is the Supreme Controller here by such activities. It was self-satisfied here. Atma labhena. In other words, he's not dependent on anyone else for anything, anytime, anywhere. So that's also described at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is optikama. He's capable of fulfilling his own desires. He manifests his energies. Vishnu Shakti Para Prabda Shetragya Kitata Para Vidya Karma Samgirya Chatira Shakti Ishate. Krishna's three basic energies, internal, external, and the living entity. Of course, the external energy is called Vidya Karma, activities of ignorant activities, activities that are ignorant, sorry. And it was like we were listening to a class of yesterday, or the day before in Mexico, and the three aspects of the Lord's internal potency were being described as Sat, Chit, and Ananda. And it's interesting, you have that the Chit potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifest as a Subhadra in the Jagannath deities, because we're having Rathayatra. So Subhadra manifests the chit potency, Yogamaya is the chit potency of the Lord, the knowledge potency of the Lord, and of course she arranges for the Lord's pastimes. And then you have Srimati Radharani, who is the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, of course, Balaram manifests the Sandini Shakti, the existential potency, like the spiritual world and all the aspects of the Lord's paraphernalia. And so Balaram's connected with the Sat potency. Of course, Balaram gives Krishna pleasure. Balaram is full of knowledge, too, so you can't really separate the three. And, of course, we have Radharani. As far as the potencies of the Lord, you know, Balaram is not one of the potencies of the Lord. Balaram is a Vishnu Tattva expansion of Krishna. So Radharani is the original Shakti, Ladini Shakti, from whom other Shaktis expand. Anyway, it gets quite complicated. But in any case, Parashya Shakti Vividaya Vishuyate is Vipavaki Jnana Balakriyacha, that Krishna has all these multifarious potencies and expansions, and they are all dedicated to serving him. And so that's why Krishna is called Aptakama. Whatever he wants gets provided by his expansions and by his potencies, by his energies. So in this way he's independent. And he can actually create, he's not just dependent, let's say, on Lakshmi, he can create many Lakshmis. Krishna can manifest many, many Lakshmis, or Krishna can manifest many, many beautiful girls, or whatever Krishna wants gets manifested simply by his desire. So in this way, he's Atma Labhena, and therefore he's Purna Artha. Artha means things that you want. And of course, we want so many things, and of course, none of us are Purna Artha. We're full, Purna means full, Artha, of all of our desires. In other words, all of our desires are fulfilled, or is translated here in the word-by-word translation, self-satisfied. None of us are self-satisfied in the sense that we're satisfied only with ourselves. We actually need Krishna, too, to be satisfied with the super self. So anyway, so this is Krishna's position. Completely independent, completely self-satisfied, whatever he wants, he gets. Yet, as described here, this is the first expression, the first sentence in the verse, yet he acts as the creator, maintainer, annihilator of this material world. So why does he do that in spite of being self-satisfied and everything like that? For example, if I was self-satisfied, had anything I wanted, I probably wouldn't do anything. If I wasn't compassionate, hopefully I'm a little compassionate, then I wouldn't do anything. Because you're just self-satisfied into yourself. Just like I was, yesterday I was seeing a presentation about the future of course it's all materialistic, but the future of intelligence, like artificial intelligence called AI. And so people were presenting the dangers of artificial intelligence. Of course, one of the dangers is that the artificial intelligence will destroy us because we're less intelligent than the artificial intelligence, but I'm not going to get into that. But another danger is that the artificial intelligence will actually take over and do everything for us, and we'll just have nothing to do except to go to the beach. So the point is, and it just showed a picture of everyone just sitting around doing nothing and just getting fat. So, really, that's probably what would happen. Just like we see in America, that, of course, we have a president who wants to throw out all the foreigners out of America, all the foreigners who don't have visas out of America, but that he doesn't understand that the Americans won't farm the land anymore or build the buildings or anything like that. It'll just be an absolute disaster. Because as soon as, in the material world, as soon as you give someone everything, all their needs are taken care of, they just become completely lazy. And you see this in many of the first world countries, like even Australia, New Zealand, America, Western Europe, that they have to import people to do the work for them because they become extremely lazy. So it's a natural psychology. If you give someone everything, they won't work. In other words, the impetus for work, as Prabhupada said, it's interesting, Prabhupada said the impetus for economic development and work is the relationship between men and women, household life. Because without that, no one would work. And I mean, I've told that story before, that in the beginning, the British sent colonies of just men to America, and they were just sloppy. Everything was just dirty. And probably they didn't clean their clothes for several years or something like that. And nothing got built. Nothing. I mean, it was just like they were just sitting around and just, I guess, smoking the peace pipe with the Indians or something. And then they figured out, we got to do something. So they sent a whole bunch of women over, and then the men got to work. So, you know, the buildings got built, and then, you know, so anyway. So there needs to be some impetus for economic development. But if you have everything, there's no impetus. You just sit around and you're just lazy and you sit, like me, and sit in front of your computer and play with your mobile phone and everything like that. So the point I'm trying to make here is that Krishna has all those things, and the verse says, yet he acts as the creator, maintainer, annihilator of the material world. Now, why does he do that? He does that because he's compassionate. Not because he needs the material world to be happy. He needs to play around, just like sometimes you see. I remember seeing a film of the so-called demigods in ancient Rome or Greece, and they were just like looking at us and playing with us like we're pieces on a chessboard. So God doesn't do that because he's enjoying his chess game, moving me around and, you know, killing me or subjecting me to difficulties and considering me to be like a pawn on God's chessboard. But God is doing these things. Krishna is doing these things out of compassion. He wants us back with him. So therefore, he expands himself. Not that he does it as Krishna, but he does it as his expansion. The Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. And this is done out of compassion. I mean, even the internal potency of the Lord expands as the Mahamaya out of compassion. And so all these, this whole material world is a world of compassion. Even though we see or we hear it described generally as Dukkhalayam Shashvatam, a place of misery, it's actually a place of Maya also means mercy, a place of compassion. So that's why Krishna does that. And of course, the last part of the verse here, when he does that, he never becomes entangled because he has his own world, he has everything he wants. So he does it simply out of love and compassion. Try to understand that. That is Krishna's mood. Simply love and compassion. He doesn't have to mess with this world. So that's one point. So I wanted to touch upon what Prabhupada said in his the final purport here. Prabhupada talks about how several things that unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. In other words, Prabhupada isn't specifically talking here about the formal act of initiation, but accepting a spiritual master, because until one actually accepts a spiritual master, one cannot be engaged in Krishna's service. The statement is, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabhavet Grahamindriya, Seva Mukhehi Jivado, Swayameva Spurachira. That with these materialistic senses, we cannot approach or perceive the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what to speak of thinking of Krishna? We have to think of Krishna through or by the mercy of the transparent via media of a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, we can't think of Krishna, always think of Krishna. And we may have some glimpses of Krishna. But we cannot always think of Krishna unless we actually accept a bona fide spiritual master. And of course, if one accepts a bona fide spiritual master, in essence, that is what initiation is. I mean, there's the formal initiation, which is absolutely required, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, and our previous acharyas. But Prabhupada said, you know, the real initiation, for example, when Prabhupada first accepted his spiritual master, after meeting him on the rooftop in Uttadanga, Calcutta, and that, you know, Prabhupada, we can't say that Prabhupada was not initiated at that point. That was his connection. And then the formal initiation took place like 11 years later. And even there was one case, I remember, when Prabhupada formally initiated someone, and then that person went away right away, and Prabhupada said, I've accepted him, but he has not accepted me. So that's really what initiation means, to hear. I mean, for example, the first time I heard Prabhupada was on the radio in 1968 or 69, and, you know, I consider that maybe not my formal initiation, but my initiation or beginning in Krishna consciousness, coming in touch with the Sampradaya, which is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramanda Pramate, Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadakvai Bhakti Latavish, that when one comes in contact, after wandering in this material world, one comes in contact with a pure devotee, then the seed of devotion is implanted in one's heart. If the seed of devotion isn't implanted in one's heart, one cannot become Krishna conscious or think of Krishna. So that's the explanation here. And the second one is, it's very interesting. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, Mahayaji. So sometimes devotees may say, well, deity worship is optional, or even they may denigrate those who engage in deity worship or say it's for less advanced devotees. But we find that deity worship, and Prabhupada did engage with deity worship. He traveled with Radha Krishna deities. And I remember there's some story that Sri Takirti told, that one time they arrived in a particular place and they unpacked, and Prabhupada said, you know, you unpack the deities, and Sri Takirti said, no, we're just staying here for a short time. And Prabhupada said, you have unpacked, so why you have not unpacked the deities? In other words, even Prabhupada was considered, Prabhupada's in the most exalted platform of devotional service. And what to speak of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, who basically they all had their deities. I mean, even up Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping the Shilas, and he was actually lamenting that he didn't have a deity to dress. And he was lamenting so much that the deity, one of the Shilas, the Damodar Shila, appeared as Radharaman. So, I mean, what is the example of our acharyas? And, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was worshipping the deities of Radhakund. And when you go to Radhakund, you actually go to replicas of all the Goswami temples. Because originally, when the deities were taken out of Vrindavan, when the Muslims attacked, they went to Radhakund. And when they left Radhakund, on the way to Jaipur, Udaipur, Nathwar, then the residents of Radhakund felt so much separation from the Goswami deities, they installed Pratibhu deities. So you'll see, like, there's two Radha Damodar temples in Radhakund. There's a Radha Govinda temple there in Radhakund. All the Goswami temples are there. So the deity worship is really not something optional for a devotee. And of course, at least people should see the deities regularly or offer obeisances to the deities. I mean, some people may not go on the altar on a regular basis, but Prabhupada here says, as soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship. So this is a pretty clear statement. Or, you know, cooking for the deities, or some service for the deities, or bringing a flower for the deities, or bringing some boga for the deities. This is essential. I mean, just like even myself, when I travel with my Shilas, and it really helps me fix my mind and become regulated in devotional service, and takes me off of the enjoying platform. Because, you know, I mean, just like sometimes people say, well, can I offer you some prasadam? And I just say, well, I'm not going to eat it unless it's offered to my deities. So I mean, sometimes if I've already made an offering, then I'll go somewhere else and someone may offer me some fruit or something like that, which is all right. But I won't eat unless the deities are eating. So there's this whole concept in deity worship of seeing Krishna as the enjoyer. If we don't engage in deity worship, then we begin to see ourselves as the enjoyer of Krishna consciousness. So it really is essential. Like Prabhupada said, we have two tracks, the Bhagavat Vidhi and the Pancharatriki Vidhi. That is the tract of Harinama, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names. That's Bhagavat Vidhi, and Pancharatriki is worshipping the deities. And another point about deity worship is that one, because we are very visual by culture, by nature, when we see the form of the Lord, it actually reminds us that he's a person. I mean, you chant Hare Krishna, everything's there, obviously. Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Binatvam Nama Namana. But our mind may not really fix on the point that Krishna is a person unless we see the form of Krishna in front of us. So we may be just chanting Hare Krishna like we used to chant Om before I joined the Hare Krishna movement. This is, I remember when I first joined the movement, we would chant Hare Krishna and the devotees would keep chanting. They said, "Have you gotten off yet?" You know, like it's some like LSD trip. You know, you're just like, "Huh? Have you gotten high yet from chanting?" No, someone would say, no. The other brahmacharis would say, "No, I haven't gotten high yet. Hare Krishna, you should chant more enthusiastically so you get high." So, and as soon as you have the deities, then you begin to think, "Oh, Krishna's a person," and you're cooking for the person. And you're cleaning the person's temple. I mean, it just really solves this whole problem of nirvishesha shunyavadi, which actually Prabhupada came to the Western world to solve. So deity worship is actually essential, according to Prabhupada. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, Prabhupada said. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master. So this principle, Prabhupada said, you know, I'm repeating Prabhupada's words in the purport, is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. So this is the process of coming to the platform of bhakti. Accepting the spiritual master. Everything is contained in this one paragraph here. Accepting the spiritual master, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, doing deity worship, serving the Lord and the spiritual master, and these are the principles that will enable us. Of course, these principles need to be executed internally as well as externally. In other words, as we're doing our devotional service, we should be cultivating the mood of bhakti, not just simply doing the deity worship or doing the chanting or doing any of these things externally, but thinking of what we're doing, why we're doing it, as we're doing it. This is Krishna consciousness. You know, Subhaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo. That's the whole point. To always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That's in the mind. So all these external activities are meant to keep our mind fixed on Krishna's feet. As a person, as our master, we are servants. All these things are meant to train the mind. These different external activities of devotional service. And if we do the external activities and I don't train the mind, then it's called niyamagraha, or simply functioning ritualistically or externally, which actually, according to Rupa Goswami, is a cause of fall down in devotional service. So Prabhupada said, this principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. So any questions or comments? We have about 4 minutes left. Yeah.
I'm curious to know about we've also heard that we perform devotional service joyfully. So I'm just kind of curious, because the mind also has this tendency to go, okay, so then if we're supposed to perform our devotional service joyfully, but we're not supposed to enjoy, how do you do that?
Joyfully means out of the spirit. There's two things. We can enjoy the bhakti, the mood of love towards Krishna, the mood, the desire to please Krishna. That's not self-centered enjoyment. That's the bhakti ras. But if we're Enjoying self-centered without thinking of Krishna's pleasure, that is actually material enjoyment. That's the difference. So, yes, we are supposed to enjoy devotional service, but enjoy the mood of bhakti. Not necessarily that we enjoy the external paraphernalia that we get, but enjoy the mood of bhakti. I mean, for example, right, let's say shopping for the deities. Let's take an example. It's right at home. So, if you just shop for the deities because you enjoy shopping, just like we had, Black Friday, and yesterday was Cyber Monday. So, you know, some of the ladies, they were out there, you know, the shop till you drop, either on the internet or whatever. And so, if you're doing that out of the spirit of, you know, I really like shopping. I mean, it's good you're dovetailing it in Krishna's service. I mean, one thing, you know, shopping for the deities. But if you're just spending all your time in Loy Bazaar and not doing anything else while you're there, you know, it's not a good sign. Like Prabhupada said, Krishna's everywhere in Vrindavan except for Loy Bazaar. So, not that Krishna is not in Loy Bazaar, but if someone spends all of his time there, he's not Krishna conscious. So, but if you're shopping with the mood of doing this for Krishna's pleasure, that's different. But if you're doing it with the mood because you're just enjoying shopping, that's not pure bhakti there. That's karma mishra bhakti. So sometimes, I mean, of course, in the beginning, I understand people are doing mixed devotional service. We're not condemning anyone for that. But pure devotional service is simply doing it to please Krishna, not for one's own satisfaction. So if we're shopping and we're enjoying, like, actually shopping for men is torturous, but anyway. I was just speaking to some man yesterday who had to go with his wife and shop, and he said it's like, it's one of the punishments given by Yamaraj. But if you're just thinking, you know, I want Krishna to be happy, this is being, but if you're just looking, oh, isn't this a nice jewel, and you forget it's for Krishna, then you're in Maya. That happens, isn't it? Oh, what a pretty jewel. Oh, I'm supposed to be getting it for Krishna, yes. So the whole idea is to enjoy the bhakti ras, enjoy pleasing Krishna, or dancing for the deities, for example. If we're dancing and thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna's pleasure, then it's completely spiritual. But if it's mixed, you know, and I'm not condemning people for doing mixed dancing or anything like that, but if it's mixed just because, you know, I enjoy dancing, then it's a mixed thing. So when we dance, we should be thinking, I'm pleasing the holy name, I'm pleasing Krishna. So everything has to be done with this bhakti ras. It doesn't have to be done. It's optional. But if things are done with the proper bhakti ras, then that's pure devotional service. And then you can enjoy that. That bhakti ras is actually very enjoyable. You know, pleasing Krishna. I mean, just like yesterday, I came and saw the deities, they were smiling, and I was happy. It gave me happiness. I didn't think that happiness is Maya. I'm not supposed to enjoy Krishna smiling. So, on that happy note, it's time to end class. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I want to thank Tulsi Dasi for joining us, Kishori, Rishikesh, Elena, from the UK, or maybe she's back home by now, Rasamando, Gobi Gita, Nav Kishori, a lot of people join us. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Adi Purusham. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Oh,
Parvatacharya of Sudhana, Sri Shimadhi, Grace of Ayajana, Ratnanya, Prasami, Shubhupada, Iskand Founder Acharya, Shubhupada, Jaya, and Gopi, Vaishnava, Vindika, Namacharya, Shubhidas, Thabu, Vijaya, Friends, Say, Koh, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Vichananda, Shubhaya, Gadaha, Shivasati go Vaka Vrindigajaya Shishiva Krishna go to the sign Vrinda Vrinda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrinda Kijaya Zuram Kijaya Nandit Dham Kijaya Vasami Kijaya Vanamaya Kijaya Shimari Vasile Kijaya Samaveya Vaka Gora Prananda All glories is All glories to Sambhu. All glories to Sri Guru Govranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So read the translation. O Lord, every day I have wasted my life, although I have taken this rare human birth, I have not served Radha Krishna, and thus I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of divine love and the Lord Vrindavan has descended as the congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy name. Why did my attraction to that chanting never go bad? Day and night my heart burns in the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not accepted the means for relieving it. Lord Krishna, the Son of the King of Raj, became the Son of Saji, and Balaram came to die. The holy name delivered all those souls who are lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jai and Mai, are yet in space. O Lord Krishna, Son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Vrishabhan, please do listen to me now. Narayanadas says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your wretched lotus feet. For who is my beloved except for you? Now come to us, God, for you, God. So, again, I'm asking, please, no questions by the heater, by the plug of the heater, or anything like that, because it's extremely dangerous. So, very, very important. When I'm young, I see my bed is right by the plug, and my bed caught fire. Fortunately,
blessings.